Good morning, everyone. I hope you've all had a great week. I can't believe we're at the end of February already. This year is certainly disappearing fast. As you may be aware, our theme this month is loving others. Pastor Warren started off the month with a great message about the comforting church. Well, today my message is titled The Call to Love. The scripture I'll be focusing on is 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. Let's read that together. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The ancient Greek literally translates the first line as, "Those who are loved, let us love." What beautiful words they are. Those who are loved, let us love. We're not commanded to love one another to earn or become worthy of God's love. We love one another because we are loved by God and have received that love. Let's look first at being those who are loved. Love comes from God, as we have just read. God is love. The whole Bible is God's love letter to us. The Bible reveals how much God loves us right from the time mankind was first created. Then with the death and resurrection of Jesus to reconcile us back to God, and then right through all eternity. When God lives in us, his love is made complete in us. How does this work? Well, verses 9 and 10 give us some answers. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The writer of 1 John 4 is also the writer of the book of John, where we have that beautiful verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The entire gospel comes into focus in this verse. God's love is not static or self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. Here, God sets the pattern of true love, the basis for all love relationships. When you love someone dearly, you're willing to give freely to the point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the price of his Son, the highest price he could pay. Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price for our sins, and then offered us the new life he had bought for us. Love explains why God cares. Because he loves them, he cares for sinful people. Love explains why God creates. Because he loves, he creates people to love. Love explains why we are free to choose. God wants a loving response from us. Love explains why Christ died. His love for us caused him to seek a solution to the problem of sin. And love explains why we receive eternal life. God's love expresses itself to us forever. The word for love used in these passages of scripture is the Greek word agape. Let me read this definition to you that I found online. Agape is the term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is his ongoing, outgoing, self-sacrificing concern for lost and fallen people. God gives this love without condition, unreservedly, to those who are undeserving and inferior to himself. Wow, if we could all understand how much God really loves us, what a difference it would make in our lives and in our world. Agape is the self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. It is God's kind of love, not defined by our love for God, but by his love for us. Since this is God's kind of love, it comes into our life through our relationship with him. If we want to love one another more, we need to draw closer to God. For God is love. This is a wonderful truth. Love describes the character and heart of God. He is so rich in love and compassion that it can be used to describe his very being. I'd like to read something I've read from a commentary when I was looking at this subject. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is power. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is popularity. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is passionate feelings. But the greatest evidence of God's presence and work is love. Where God is present and working, there will be love. Those who are loved, let us love. So having received this love from God, we are directed to love one another. We are called to love. The proper way to love God in response to his love for us is to love one another. God pours love into our lives that it might flow out to others through us. I'd like to say here that love is not a feeling. Love does not depend on how we're feeling today. Love is a choice and an action. We choose to love and we take that action as well. When we are really experiencing God's love, it will show by our love for one another. So sometimes I've caught myself being short with a person or in a situation and I quickly realise that something's not right. Where is my love for that person? Why are my actions not matching what I know in my head and not matching how much God loves me? When I get like that, I've forgotten for the moment how much God loves me, but also how much God loves the other person. So it must grieve him when I put down someone or I'm grumpy with them. My choice and action do not match the love that God has shown me. I was listening to a song this week that had the words, "Your love crashes over me, wave after wave." And God's love is like the ocean in so many ways. It is vast and greater than our minds can comprehend. It is so deep, like God's love for us, that it will never run out. And whether the tide is coming in or going out, the waves continue. They never stop. The ocean is teeming with life. The water goes where it wants to go, and nothing can stand against it. And the ocean remains a mystery. More than 80% of the ocean has never been mapped, explored, or even seen by humans. God is also a mystery. And his endless, overwhelming, continual love for each one of us is a mystery. I think we'll be spending all eternity learning about God and his love. I hope you like that analogy. My message is titled, "The Call to Love." In 1 John 4, that we're reading from today, John isn't telling us how many people to love, but how much to love the people we already know. Our job is to love faithfully the people God has given us to love, whether it's 2 or 200. If God sees that we're ready to love others, he will bring them to us. God provides us the strength to do what he asks. Sometimes all we can do is pray for people and love them. May we come to understand that those two things alone, prayer and love, are powerful gifts from God. Let us never underestimate that. And 1 John 4 ends with the words, "And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." John uses brief statements and simple words, and he features sharp contrasts, light and darkness, truth and error, God and Satan, life and death. And in this chapter, the contrast is love and hate. The real test of our love for God is how we treat the people right in front of us. We cannot truly love God while neglecting to love those who are created in his image. We are called to love. I pray these words will remain with us and penetrate our innermost thoughts so we can live how God wants us to live. Those who are loved, let us love. God bless you all.